Hail Hydra.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
All right, Ted. It's episode 106.
Feels like only yesterday.
almost only yesterday. We were right back with each other again, man. Right. In person, in Reseda. Me and my family are back from Legoland, and we thought, you know, before we cut out back home, let's do one more recording in person. And Ted bought the Trailer Bottle Junkie Logic Duo, a Bottle Logic amazing beer. So I figured, you know what, we would return in kind the favor. And this week we have a Carl Strauss Brewing Company, but it's the 35th anniversary barrel-aged Scotch Ale, aged in American whiskey casks. So it's 11%.
Yum.
Brew date was January 7th. Bottle date was January 21st. So let's enjoy this sucker, and I'm sure you're going to love it.
Awesome.
All right, let's get after it here. Yeah, I had this the other night at the brewery. I thought, man, you know, so I texted Ted, and I said, you like bourbon? I think Ted's really going to like this. So I got a bottle set off to the side. We got purchased, and I thought these are the kind of beers that we'd really enjoy having, these like really rich, robust Scotch ale, stout, porter types that are barrel aged and the whiskey, brandy, you know, whatever. And
barrel age is the key. I think so. That's the favorite.
The oak definitely imparts a great flavor. I mean, and that's one of the biggest notes I think I get out of this one.
The Scotch ale is clean, and then you get a lot of the wood.
Yeah, the wood. I got the wood.
I got the wood. The good wood.
I don't even want to go any further with the wood. All right, man.
Okay.
So, other than having the wood, any tasting notes?
Tasting notes? Crisp, you know, it hits you. It doesn't feel like 11%,
we have 500 milliliters, one pint, 9 fluid ounce.
I can see what your server said about maybe, you know, aging it for 3 years in the bottle. I know it didn't make it 3 days, but
yeah. So we're there, and you know, I buy this, and the server says, "Oh, I think I'm gonna get some, and I'm gonna age it for a few years. I'd say 3 minimum." And I said, "Well, I said I'm gonna be drinking this in 2 nights for our next podcast episode." So, yeah, we didn't.
At least
make
you tossed him a card. So
that's right. That's right. Gave him a card, and we went on. So, all right, man, it's episode 106. But before we get into that, it's a short week this week. So, anything spectacular this week?
Or? I want to hear about Legoland.
Oh, Legoland. Well, let's get the bad. So, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Okay,
let's get the bad out of the way.
Yeah.
So, the basement of the Lego movie, when they give the reveal that it's been in the kid's basement the whole time, Will Ferrell's basement. And so we're essentially in the basement and we're walking through, but all of the display is behind plexiglass.
Yes.
And so we're going around and it's like, oh my God, I used to have these Legos as a kid. And like, I was just like in my adult glee. So one little corner was at like a 45 degree angle and Mikey's just like, oh my God, I love it. Kablammo. Face first.
Full speed.
His nose explodes in blood over all of this. The poor kid goes down for the count, crying and something. Oh, you know, so.
This is day one. This is
the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we walk in the park. I mean, 15 minutes, the kid's down for the count with a half broken nose. And Clarissa's on it. You know, she's a registered nurse. And so the people in the place are saying like, oh, you know, we have a first aid station and this and that, you know. And I told him, I said, you know, my wife's a nurse. She can handle it and stuff. And so she took care of her nursing duties as the loving mother. So he had both compassion and knowledge.
And expertise.
We got him all squared up, and his nose bled throughout the day. I mean, it was like every now and again, blood would start coming out and everything. And he was all black and blue around the eyes and stuff. Oh, but, no. Man, I'll tell you, though, kids can bounce back.
I can't even tell.
By the end of the day, it was like it never happened. It was amazing. But I would say the main thing is, though, he was good, you know, and the well, there is really no ugly. I mean,
right.
Well, you know what? No, there is ugly. I would say so good, bad, and ugly. The bad was him busting his nose in the plexiglass.
Yeah.
The ugly is when you like, I'm not saying I want to compare Legoland to Disneyland.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at Disneyland, you see the little sweepers with the little, like, scooper thing.
Right.
And they're picking up, I mean, any little minor, like, straw wrapper.
Right.
Anything, right? Anything falls in the ground, like, these people sweep in, like, pun intended. You know, get it all into the scooper, and off they go.
A short aside, when they opened Cars Land, we would go almost every weekend, and I guess we still kind of do. But when they opened Cars Land, Ann and I would sit on Route 66 on one of the benches there, and the kids would go with their aunt and uncle, and they'd go on their different rides and stuff. So we sat there for like an hour and a half one time, just on Route 66, right where people, the cast members come in and out.
Okay.
Of the back behind the stage, the stage. And when people would drop trash, you could tell that even people that are on their way to their break, it's their duty to pick it up. You know,
if you see trash,
whether you're on your going on your break or coming back from your break, you know, whether you're in a suit, whether you're in your custodian, all levels of people, it is their duty from top to bottom to pick up anything that's dropped on the ground. And like a kid spilled like a couple of pieces of popcorn, and we're like, oh, what do you think? What's the over under on whether that's getting picked up or not? And we sat there, and within like 2 minutes before wind could do anything, somebody came by and they picked it up and they threw it in the trash can, and it was like a cast member. So
that's amazing.
So there is a culture ingrained in there that you are to pick up, you know, to make it as spick and span as possible. But yes.
And that's the ugly, though. So we were in line at a ride, and there was this corner, and the corner had like these, I don't know, like the waxed soda cups, right? And I'm like, okay, a couple of cups.
Right.
No big deal. So I look at the cups, and I'm like, these things are sun faded. So like, that means they've been there for at least a week.
They've been swirling in the wind and leaves for a week. At least.
They've been there for a week, you know? And then there's like leaves, and I mean, I would say it's definitely not as clean as Disney in that regard. And the good, the kids just loved it. I mean, I loved it. The best part of Legoland are the builds. So you look at Washington, D.C. and New York City and Vegas and the towns and the main the eastern seaboard of Maine. And, unbelievable. And getting two young boys, 5 and 7, on a roller coaster that was much faster than we thought it would be. And they were like screaming and crying because it was so fast. I mean, like, that was like, I loved that. So, but no.
I gotta get there soon.
Yeah, Legoland was amazing. The big store was amazing. If anybody's into Legos and you have young children, I would say once you hit like 11 or 12, or your kids hit 11 or 12, like Legoland is done. I mean, Disney, I think, is timeless.
Right.
You can be in your 50s. No, you can have like 50-year-old husband and wife go to Disneyland, and you could have a great time. A 50-year-old husband and wife goes to Legoland, and people will look at you crooked. I guess the last comment I have to make is, so kids are in the park all day.
Mm-hmm.
They're running around. They're tired. They're hungry. And finally, we make it to the restaurant to eat with all the other parents and all the young kids.
Yeah.
And, like, they're all out of control. And me and Clarissa look at each other, and we're thinking, yeah, we're not the only ones, man. Like, you think, like, you're an island when your kids are, like, having freak-out mode. But when you're in a place where they're all the same age and they're all in freak-out mode, and they're like everybody's in the same boat, right?
Yeah.
And we're all trying to be like, I don't want to be judged. Just behave. Because these people will judge me. And you're thinking to yourself, like, no, everybody's in their own, is their right. own island.
Everybody's thinking the same exact thing about not wanting to be judged when their kids are freaking out.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, at least this is a place we can all empathize, but yet we're all like alone. And then every once in a while you look across and like a mom gives like a dad or a dad a mom or whatever it is like yeah. that like reassuring nod, like, you too, huh?
Can you believe this?
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, pretty much Legoland was it. And I mean, no movies, no TV. We were just there and driving back and forth and,
yeah.
you know, the whole thing. But no, it was great. I would highly recommend it for anybody with young family. Like I said, once you hit about 11, 12 years old, I mean, I think you're done.
So the clock is ticking on Bryce.
Yeah, he's Bryce is
10 years old. He would probably have a good time this summer. And then that's about it.
I think Bryce is young enough to where he would get into it. Uh-huh. I think one, two more years, he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, but I would recommend it. I mean, it was great. And like I said, the builds, far and away, the best thing out there.
Awesome.
I mean, you're looking at the skyline in New York and, like, the gazillion billion bricks it takes to make this thing. I mean, they tell you how many, but who the hell remembers? But, oh, it was
Do you think they glue them together?
They do glue them together.
Oh, they glue them.
Yeah, because I try to take them apart. I'm like, because of course, like, dad walks up. Is this glued together? And you're trying to pop it off. And then I thought to myself, the poor brick guy who, like, paints a brick, sticks it on, paints a brick, sticks. I'm like, wow, this must take a long time. And I mean, you look at like elephants that are literally life-size elephants with millions of bricks, and you just think to yourself, how long does it take to build one elephant?
Yeah. Well, I want to know how long it's going to take Timmy to build that Yoda.
Yeah, so we left. Timmy got himself, like, I think it's like, what, 17, 8? It's like a foot and a half tall Yoda.
Yeah. Good thing he kept it in the box, because you got to do that at home.
Kept it, yeah. So he also got Anakin Skywalker, which I do want to bring up, by the way.
No, it's a good marketing piece.
A marketing piece. So if you think about Anakin Skywalker, he's in the prequels, essentially, right?
The prequels, and specifically, the Anakin, like, fighter is the Jedi fighter that Anakin's in is from the Clone Wars.
The Clone Wars, exactly.
Yeah, so Clone Wars in the prequel series.
Right. And on the box, they have Rey, Finn, and
Poe. Poe Dameron.
Yeah, Poe Dameron. Timmy, and as astute as he is...
This is great. Kudos to Timmy.
You know, he's looking at the box, and we're sitting there, and he says, Daddy, I don't understand. If this is coming from the prequels and the Clone Wars, why is it that, like, Rey and Poe and Finn are here? Aren't they from, like, the later movies? And I said, well, yeah, they are. And it makes no sense why they're on the box, but this is from before Luke Skywalker.
Right.
And I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. I don't understand the marketing either, you know? And so you have a seven-year-old, well, let me put it this way, a brand new seven-year-old, because we were there for his seventh birthday, and you have a seven-year-old who can figure out the flaw in your marketing. So, I mean, come on. You can't have adults figure out, like, how there's a flaw in the marketing?
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't know why it's like that. But maybe they're trying to capitalize on the movies.
It probably had to do with the timing of when the box was printed and stuff. But it still doesn't make sense. So, I appreciate his attention to detail.
Yeah. And especially for, like, a little kid to pick up on these things. I mean, not saying my kid's not brilliant, but, you know. I didn't pick up on it, and he certainly brought it to my attention, and I couldn't agree more with him. So
exactly, me too.
All right,
we'll bring it up to the powers that be.
That's right. Well, only you can do that. All right, so episode 106, and we're bringing in three trailers.
Three trailers, yeah.
And so Amazing Stories.
Amazing Stories. So did you watch the original?
I did. Is Steven Spielberg, right?
Steven Spielberg.
So can I ask really quick?
NBC, yeah.
NBC?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day?
Back in the day.
Okay, Apple Podcast.
Apple TV Plus.
And it says an Apple TV Plus original.
Yes.
And about halfway through, it says brings back the original series or something along those lines.
Yeah, the acclaimed original series, yeah.
Yeah, so does that make it still an Apple TV Plus exclusive?
Yes, because it's a new series, I think, you know. They basically...
So they're not retelling the stories.
They're not retelling the stories.
So Amazing Stories, as I recall, there was one with a bomber and the feet magically appear, or the wheels magically appeared.
I could not tell you. So the only thing I can tell you...
I think
you,
so.
The only thing I can tell you about the original Amazing Stories was that song is the same song.
It is the same song.
And it, yeah, like, it triggers me.
It triggered me, too. That's how I remembered the
bomber, right?
The bomber, yeah.
But I don't remember that bomber. All I remember is the caveman, like, lighting a fire and telling, like, a camp story around a...
See, now, that one I don't remember.
It wasn't. It was part of, like, the open.
Oh, okay. See, yeah. So I don't remember that.
Part of, like, the opening sequence, the Amazing Story opening sequence. And I think the original one... It was a little more open-ended. Yeah, the original one was very open-ended. And this one, I like the fact that they say five stories. It kind of gives you the idea.
So it's going to be five episodes?
The limited series. I don't know whether they're going to split it up into two. You know, who knows? When Steven Spielberg does it, I think Apple did a cool thing where when Apple said they were going to do original content, the thing that they first came out with were the creators that they were going to hire to do these shows. So they had Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
They had Steven Spielberg from Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
And they said they hired these people and they didn't even care what they're going to make. They're just like, whatever your next project is, make it with us.
Well, I think they're...
We'll produce it, you know?
Yeah, I think their track is pretty solid. I mean, you know, are you going to question Steven Spielberg when you, like, your Amazing Stories are like E.T., Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
He gets a blank check for sure.
Yeah, I don't think. And even Ronald D. Moore, I mean, when he reimagined Battlestar Galactica...
Yeah.
I would say Battlestar Galactica was awesome literally until the last episode.
Oh, really?
Were there like kind of angels in a sense or whatever that was?
It was turtles all the way down. It was Cylons all the way down kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, and they were like they're like angels or something. Yeah. You know, I didn't really care for that, but...
I really wish they did more with Caprica.
Do you?
I think they had a lot more potential, and they touched on a lot of things, but they didn't like delve too deep into it.
I was a fan, but Caprica, like, as much as I enjoyed it, I think they ran out of gas in their storytelling.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the same thing as what I was saying, because I felt like they could have done a lot more, and they had like this potential of all these different storylines. And then they, like you said, they kind of ran out of gas. They didn't fully execute.
Yeah, who was the guy who had the awesome house?
Oh, yeah, Eric Stoltz.
Eric Stoltz, yeah, man. Dude, that house is amazing. I know Anne wouldn't approve, but yeah.
Too much of an open floor plan. you learn a lot about
She doesn't have a formal dining room, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think... You know, if we talk about reimagining TV shows, mm-hmm, and having, I don't know, like, what is it, five episodes? Like
limited series.
Is it okay that it comes out on an Apple TV Plus or an Amazon or a Netflix? Or does it need to come out on the original platform, like an NBC that came out on NBC in the 80s?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know...
Is it okay that it comes out on something? I mean, I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's the fact that it's out and it's, you know, available. And, you know, I think every one of these streaming services thinks of, you know, you, specifically Jimmy, as the customer, where, you know, they need to amass certain amount of content to be your tipping point. Like, what is your tipping point for Apple TV Plus?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, they have Steven Spielberg and you probably still won't get it.
What I would say is this. So I was thinking about what we talked about last episode, episode 105.
Uh-huh.
And I mentioned, we were talking about how Fox Searchlight became Searchlight.
Yes.
And I think one of us, well, obviously one of us, but you or me mentioned Or does it matter whether or not you have, like, Fox in the name, you know? Right. And we said, what if it was Disney Searchlight or something? Mm-hmm. And then it got me thinking on the drive, you know, would I subscribe to something or do I pay attention to something based on the production studio?
Right.
You know, whether it's Fox or whether it's Warner Brothers or Paramount or something. And the reality is I wouldn't, but for probably Pixar.
Right.
Right? So if you think about it, like,
what about Disney? Disney, though, you would.
Okay, yeah, you're right about that. Disney, I would. And I think if it's, like, Pixar or Disney,
right,
you're looking at it, and right off the bat, you're saying, you know what, this is safe for my kids, and mm-hmm. we can go watch this. And even the scary scenes aren't going to be scary. There's going to be a wink and a nod of humor. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be anything overly sexual or right. hypersexual or anything. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have any of those problems. But if it's like a Warner Brothers Batman or something, there's no telling what might show.
Right.
Because, like, you don't have that blanket of Pixar or Disney. And I think because it's like Apple TV or maybe a Netflix or an Amazon, there's been times on Netflix I'm watching something and you don't expect nudity or overly. I mean, I'm watching Mr. Robot. I keep wanting to say Mr. Roboto. No, but we're watching Mr. Robot. It's a USA Network,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They're dropping F-bombs and stuff.
All over the place, yes.
Yeah, so it's like, I think you don't know what you're getting on any network these days, but for like a Disney or a Pixar thing where you right. could sit down with like your 5-year-old and be like, you know what? I don't even need to pre-screen this. It's safe.
But you know you're getting quality with like HBO, right? Like, don't you feel?
Oh,
like
I feel quality, but yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing is HBO. I mean, when did HBO come out? 83 or something?
Yeah, something.
So HBO has like a lot of like money in the bank. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Netflix at this point has money in the bank. Amazon is pretty much there. And I think Apple TV is like, I mean, yeah, they're throwing money at stuff and I'm sure it's good. But do I trust them yet to like subscribe to a whole platform? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe. But I think I will at some point.
Yeah.
But maybe this is just part of amassing that library that I'm going to binge for a few months. And, you know, I don't know. What do you think? Are you going to watch this?
Yeah, I mean, I have. So I think what did we say? Does it come out March? Is that the right? March 3rd, March 6th or something like that? So I think March 6th, I still have my free year. I'll be within my free year of Apple TV Plus.
With your, $3,000 phones? I don't know.
I think it's like $1,200, so it's not that.
You got to get all your Apple TV Plus. You
got to watch everything on Apple TV Plus. But yeah, so I think because it's there and because I'm doing that, all I started to do was think about all the TV that I was watching around that time and how I would love for them to reboot all of the stuff that I watched.
You're talking about when Amazing Stories came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, do you watch Voyager?
Oh.
Where they had the time travel with the little compass?
Yeah.
They should totally bring that back.
Oh, man. That's great. Yeah.
I mean, how much did you want to be that boy with Phineas Bogg traveling through time with, you know, running into Edison and like he takes apart the time travel machine and then, you know, like every other amazing, you know, story of the time. And then
I tried
to watch Greatest American Hero because it's on Prime.
So here's a quick aside.
Different, you know.
Here's a quick aside.
Reboot.
So there was a Halloween. I used to work as a commercial industrial painter, and I had stilts.
Uh-huh.
So my mom sewed me up, because she's pretty good with sewing. She sewed me up a Grim Reaper robe.
Oh, nice.
And I had these huge rubber gloves, and I made a sickle out of, like, you know, aluminum foil cardboard, and it was like a closet pole and all this stuff. And I'm like this 10-foot-tall Grim Reaper. And we go to this bar. This is when I used to live in Chicago. We go to this bar and Halloween costume. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh my God, that costume is like, and my face is all painted white and stuff. Eyes are blacked out. And sit there and they finally get to the judging. Uh-huh. And it's based on the crowd. Oh, how, nice. How loud the crowd nice. Cheers.
Yeah.
So they're like, the Grim Reaper, the cloud. I mean, you're talking like, whatever, 1,000 people. Like, yeah, oh, wow. Everybody goes insane. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, I got this. I go up against the greatest American hero.
Oh, no.
He gets the whole bar singing the song, you know.
Believe it.
Yeah. He gets the whole bar singing the song. Uh-huh. I mean, a rock concert. Well, okay, who do you think wins? I was just like, son of a bitch, Grim Reapers don't have songs. You know, like, this guy had the song. But anyway, that's my greatest American hero story that I was.
You were burned.
I was burned by the song.
By a Bill Cat lookalike.
But, you know, that might be a thing, though. I mean, bringing back, like, okay, if you think about it, Gen Xers are kind of becoming what the baby boomers were, right? Okay. And nostalgia, I remember when I was a kid and my parents were our age. Mm-hmm. And, like, nostalgia was this thing, right? The 50s and the 60s, and everybody was about nostalgia.
Right.
And maybe that's what happens. Like, all of a sudden, it's like the 80s now were nostalgia.
Yeah.
So, who knows, you know? I mean, all of a sudden, all these, like, TV shows, and, I mean, obviously, 80s music has been around, like, yeah. forever, but... But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, maybe this is like the first chink in the 80s armor, you know?
I think it must be. What do you think triggers that? I think you're the half point of your life, the midlife crisis or the midlife.
What creates that need for nostalgia?
Yeah, it makes you like look back instead of looking forward because you have more time behind you than you have ahead of you, you know?
It's that. It's like your kids. It's your, like, well, maybe grandkids. I mean, yeah. It's like, it's crazy to think people our age have grandkids. I mean, obviously they started really young, but yeah, I mean, it's like, you're kind of at that point in your life where it's like, I lived a lot. I still have a lot to go. I don't want to forget what I had, right. But I want to look to the future. Mm-hmm. And it's like a crossroads. Hmm. I don't know. I mean, I'm down with it. I'll watch it.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know when. But I'll at some point, like we talked about, once they get a good enough library, we'll get stuff and we'll just watch a ton.
There you go.
But moving on to more streaming. Yes. Stranger Things 4.
Stranger Things 4. And this is like it's not really listed as a teaser, but it's definitely a teaser trailer. It doesn't have a lot of story to it. It's basically the spot from Stranger Things is called From Russia With Love, and it was released on Valentine's Day, so I think there's a little tongue-in-cheek there. And it's basically just a little
scene. The trailer was released, show.
Oh, yeah. So that's the big problem with the way Netflix releases things, because their announcements and their release dates are so tight. The windows are so tight.
Yeah, weeks. You know,
it's like, when is this going to be out? And it's going to be out, like, very soon. So this one doesn't have a date, and it wasn't released officially on Netflix. But I basically went with the Stranger Things YouTube channel that has like the most, there's almost 10 million hits. So I figured that was as close to as official as you could get. But yeah, so I haven't watched season 3.
Are you a fan?
I'm a faux fan.
You know what? I fall in that camp.
Yeah.
So you asked if we watched season 3, and, uh-huh. and my answer was yes.
Right.
But for like the last 3 episodes.
Right?
Because like we get so far into it, and it just gets to the point where I'm just like, oh my God, just get on with the story. Like, I can't handle it anymore.
Yeah.
Because it just keeps going and going. Like you said, I think you said, I don't know what episode it was, but you said it best. You look at a cave painting.
That's right.
There's 3 walls to a cave. Yeah. Wall 1, wall 2, and wall 3.
Yeah, 3 seasons.
Tell me the story in season 1, 2, and 3 and get out. It, like, no cave goes on and on and on. I mean, I think that was one of the most profound things you've ever said. And I don't know how many shows I watch, and I'm just like... There's no fourth wall in the cave.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, yeah, I mean, I was talking about this at work today, and I was like, I think they jumped the Demogorgon. Is that what it's called?
Something like that.
You know, back during...
Jump the Demogorgon. Like the Fonz.
The Fonz jumping the shark. You know, it's like, that's... To me, that's like, this is kind of going over the top, but there are some serious fans at work of Stranger Things, so they were like, but it's still fun to watch, so stop raining on my parade, is what they told me.
You know, it's funny, though, you bring up, like, jumping the shark, because... I would say about 10 years ago, jumping the shark was a big thing.
Right.
And then somewhere along the way, like, we got away from that jumping the shark meme.
Right.
But you're right, though. Shows still jump the shark.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're jumping the Demogorgon. I don't know. And now they're in Russia? Like,
they're in Russia. They're in some gulag. And who knows
how. Maybe I'll finish season 3 just to see how we got to this trailer. But.
So I
got to
get finish season 2 and then finish season 3. And then. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and that's the problem with a lot of these things. Like, another.
Are they 10 episodes? Are they?
I think it's either 8 or 10.
I got to do it. It's so little, so short.
You know, but I think it's not that. I think it's just the amount of energy you have.
Uh-huh.
Like, we were huge Orange is the New Black fan.
Right.
Right? And then you get to the point where it's like, I don't know what episode of which season, but you get to the point where, like, I can only watch women in prison so much. You know? Like...
Anne and the kids went home to D.C. for, like, a month on the summer of episode.
Well, they didn't go home to D.C.
Well, they went to D.C. to be with the grandparents and all that stuff and hanging out over the summer. But it was, like, the second or third season of Orange is the New Black. And I had seen the first season, and I took off seeing the second season because it's kind of heavy.
Yeah, it is heavy.
And then when they were gone, I was like, I'm going to binge. Binge Orange is the New Black.
I'm going to binge lesbians in prison.
And I watched a season and a half, but I think I watched it all in one night, and it was the worst way to watch anything. I was like, this is awful. It was like...
I'm in prison.
Like, I'm in prison.
Yeah.
And this is like, it's like one of those Faustian hell, circles of hell.
Not only am I in prison, I'm in a woman's prison. Yeah.
So, yes, so I think we've said I'm big anti-binging, but I still, you know, it's like, only a couple of seasons. I can only do a couple of seasons of anything now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I can only do a couple of seasons. Like, once I do a couple of seasons, the story's been told for what I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need it to go on and on and on. And I also agree that, like, when you watch or binge so many episodes in a night or a weekend or something, like, I think per night, 2, and if it's, like, really good, maybe 3 in one night. Anything more than that, like, you lost me as far as details.
Exposition,
I lose it all. I don't know where the story's going. I don't know where it's been. I mean, I'm just in this, like, drunken fog of... whatever they're trying to tell me, I mean, it's just so bizarre, which is sometimes why I find myself going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to, well, I should say used to, I still do, but like, I used to be more into series because series were like really long movies in a sense.
Right.
So you could get into a series of something and you could just go until like your cup runneth over and you just get all that you want of it. But then like it's like a rubber band, right? Or a pendulum. It swings back or it snaps back the other way. And then I'm like, no, I like movies because they tell you what you got to know in 2 hours.
Get in and get out.
You get in, you get out, it's over. So right now, I think I'm more down the get in, get out, hit the movie, watch the movie, screw the series. I'm done with the series, which is why we now need to get to Resistance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, one thing, I think just to loop all the way back to Amazing Stories.
Okay.
When they said five stories, it was like such a relief.
Well, and those are one-offs too. They're not. They don't go on and on and on.
They don't go on and on and on.
Right.
And we know that there's five of them, and maybe for the first season, five is perfect. You know, like you don't have to have too much of a story. And then on the whole idea of binging something, we noticed something. We just, you know, we bought a month of CBS All Access.
Picard.
For Picard. And we watched the first four episodes of Picard. I know we're not going to really do necessarily a what we're watching this week, but that's what we've been watching this week. And last night we were watching Picard, and they had the cold open, you know, so they have a little bit of the show. And then the opening credits start, right?
Okay.
So, and every other streaming service in the world has skip intro.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I'm like, why is skip intro going out? And it's like 10 o'clock at night, and Ann and I are watching it, and I'm like searching on the remote, like to maybe I can fast forward or something like that. And it's the new LG TV in the bedroom, so I didn't even know how to do that per se. And Ann's like, just watch the opening title sequence. Just watch it. It's fine. It'll be over in a minute. Don't waste our time like fast forwarding or rewinding. And Audrey from her room, she yells, I felt that. I need skip intro. like our children are predisposed to needing this skip intro. Because the binge is so ingrained in our culture.
Well, and the funny thing about it, though, the skip intro. So we've been watching the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
For, you know, weeks on end now, everybody who's listening already is like, you know, it's like a drinking game. Every time he mentions the Clone Wars.
I'll sip. I'll take a sip.
But what's hilarious is they say skip intro. Mm-hmm. Skip intro is literally like 2 seconds. So they show like the Star Wars logo.
Yeah.
And it says skip intro, and it immediately then goes into like their little blurb, you know, of their like, they have, instead of like a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, they have like, being a friend is a great friend or something, whatever, you know, they have their little quips.
Oh, right, the little quote.
Yeah, they have their little quips that they have. But the skip intro is like a split second. And I'm like, really? You need to skip intro? Like, we never skip intro because skipping intro literally takes more time than if you just let it play out.
Right.
So, yeah, but there are some. And the other thing, too, just to talk about what we're watching, if we're going to be
let's do it really quick.
And then we could finish up.
We'll finish with Resistance.
The one thing I notice about Mr. Robot, because we haven't watched anything since our last recording, because we've been at the amusement park and all this stuff. But the one thing I have to say about Mr. Robot is their opening credits, you know, they'll show like the producer, the director, and they'll show like different actors and, you know. And then the one thing I got to ask, though, and I've been meaning to ask, is it says like with anonymous content. Did you notice that?
I think that's just the name of the production company for Sam Ismail.
Oh, that's not anything to do with the organization Anonymous?
No. I mean, I think he likes that idea.
Because like, F Society is anonymous.
Very synonymous to anonymous, yes.
Synonymous to anonymous.
But they utilize that intro space in Mr. Robot. So Mr. Robot sometimes will do exposition while they're running the titles. So it's like you can't skip intro because you're missing some of the story.
And that's my point is they'll show probably within the first 5 minutes of a 45-minute series, or I'm sorry, episode, they'll show the producer, the director, various actors, and all the production people, and costume and design, and they'll go on and on.
Right.
But, like, they'll put up somebody, and then there's, like, 30 seconds of exposition. They'll put up somebody else. 30 seconds of exposition. And after a while, you're sitting there, and I turn to Clarissa, and I say, are they really still running credits? Like, oh, my God, is this going on forever? But Mr. Robot for you. But no, it's so far, like, I mean, we're moving through it. We're in the second season. I don't know how far we're going to get. You know, just talking about, like, how many series we're going to watch the things. And Mr. Robot's one where we'll do two in a night.
Yeah.
Can't do three.
Oh, it's too heavy.
It's too heavy. Yeah. There's too much going on, but we could definitely do two.
Yeah.
And by the end of the second, I'm just like, oh, okay, I'm done. I can't handle it.
You haven't gotten to the whole throwback episode where it's like a sitcom. No. They do a sitcom and
I can't wait.
They have a full house, like the full house, an intro song to Mr. Robot in the theme of like a full house intro.
And he's the only character, but he thinks he's all the characters.
No. It's his whole, it's his whole family. So okay. It's him and his sister and his mom and his dad on a road trip.
Got it.
But they're in this Mustang, in a convertible Mustang, and there's a laugh track and everything. But they have a skip intro on that. And the skip intro is like this whole Full House style song. And you're like, why would you skip this beautiful crafted intro that they made specifically for this one episode?
Okay. I can't wait.
Okay, cool.
All right, Resistance.
Yes.
So speaking of heavy, do you find it obscure? Obscure? Yeah, maybe obscure. Mm-hmm. Do you find it obscure that World War II Nazi movies are still so prolific in today's like movie space?
I think it's just extreme. I mean, it is the height of acceptable evil foil. It's like you don't have to do anything to explain the evil of the bad guys if you have the Nazis in the movie.
Okay, so...
And I think that's where Jojo Rabbit kind of deviates from that a little bit. The Nazis are still the evil foil of the whole movie, but Hitler himself, as a figment of Jojo Rabbit's imagination, is kind of has this tongue-in-cheek humor to it because he is self-aware that he's Jojo's imaginary friend. You know what I mean? He presents himself as Adolf Hitler, but it's not Adolf Hitler. It's Jojo Rabbit's subconscious imaginary friend. But this looks a lot more straightforward, you know, and it's funny because to me a little bit, because when I hear the words resistance or when they say welcome to the resistance, I always think of South Park. When the little guy is like talking about the resistance and that, you know, do you remember that movie?
I think so.
Oh, they do Punch and Pie, and he's like, tell him there's punch and pie. And then Cartman is like trying to get people to show up to build the resistance. Anyway.
Is this when they were like blaming Canada?
I think it's the movie when they had Saddam Hussein, the devil,
and Hitler.
All in bed together or something like that. It's that bigger, longer uncut. Anyway, so Resistance was a big aspect of that. And so, then this is one of the more straightforward World War II Nazi movies.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
What you're saying with regard to insert Nazis and then like the audience just picks up on evil.
Right.
That's like Hydra in Marvel.
Yes.
Yeah. So you put in anything that resembles a Nazi and the audience automatically says they're the bad guy.
Right.
Okay. So
it's simple.
It's simple. Yeah. So that's why you think that anything to do with Nazis,
it's a go-to.
Or World War II is still a good story. I mean,
I think it's
overplayed?
I think it's nice to have a clear-cut good versus evil kind of play.
Right.
Something to play out. And it allows, in this story, you know, Jesse Eisenberg, he's allowed to kind of stretch his acting and do like Life is Beautiful. You know, it's kind of reminiscent of Life is Beautiful.
Great movie. Yeah.
And it has that idea of just the buildup of hope within such a hopeless
right.
kind of tableau, a kind of a hopeless landscape.
Well, the hope, I think, is the children, and the children represent the future.
Right.
And that's kind of how you grow that hope in a way.
Yeah. And didn't it say it was based on a true, like an unbelievably true story? Like, I had no idea Marcel Marceau was into, you know, spitting fires on Nazis.
Well, and that was the thing. I mean, it's like, and then he becomes a mime?
Right?
Like, the funny thing is, when I heard that, the rest of the trailer, I'm waiting for him to go into, like, being a mime.
Yeah, yeah.
And it never came, and I was thinking, okay, well, maybe in the movie he doesn't or something, but...
Or in the movie it ends with him, like, seeing so many horrible things that he never speaks again.
And then you might be onto something there, but you're right, though. I didn't think that his mime, like, because he was, like, the
the top, the prototypical, the hero to all the mimes of the world.
I mean, he like when you think about miming, I mean, he was like the guy.
Right.
If I can even say it, Marseille Marceau.
And they made a point of saying it. And then showing that this is, you know, this true story, you know, and it's like the untold true story. And it's like, wow, you know, like now I will, you know, if when I show this to Anne, she will definitely go look it up.
Oh, yeah, I can see it. Now, I think what you're saying with the amount and the horror and the atrocities that he saw to mm-hmm. never speak. I mean, that very well, I think, could be true.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. Man, that's why I like talking about stuff. You come up with the good ones. Yeah, I mean, if this is anything along the lines of Life is Beautiful, I mean, no brainer, I'm going to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, that one was such an amazing movie.
What was that Robin Williams one? Do you remember that Robin Williams one? Robin Williams did one. It was like, and all I can think of is Patch Adams, but that's not it. It was like a radio, and that was...
Good Morning Vietnam.
That wasn't Good Morning Vietnam either. It was another one where he played like a clown in World War II Europe, a clown for the children. Anyway, he had a very similar... So this Life is Beautiful, and I think when they made Life is Beautiful, I think...
Well, there was what, the piano?
The piano. I mean... One. Yeah, and you know, I think all forms of art were used as escapism for that time. Even if you're, you know, the dancing Von Trapps, you know, they had to escape as well.
I think it's using art in film to depict how people survived the atrocities of World War II, mm-hmm. I think is another way to say, like, we're all human.
Yeah.
And in the end, we all want those things that we want. I mean, it doesn't but I think art is an easy way to, at least in film, to show that we don't want to be a part of battle and death and dying and suffering. And this is a way to demonstrate, you know, how we escapism.
Cope and escape, yeah.
You know, and I often say this too, like when I see people of other cultures, you know, Middle East mm-hmm. to Africa to Asians, you know, and I mean, whether it's even in the United States, I mean, you're looking at people in California to Appalachia or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And you have a sick child or you have a dying parent or something and mm-hmm. people are mourning and everything. I mean, in the end, we're human.
Right.
I mean, people, we may mourn a little different. We may worship a little different. We may do things a little bit different. But the underlying thing is we're all the same.
Right.
We all want the same things. We all want what's best for our family and our kids. Mm-hmm. And there's some people that have a little more power and they oppress people who have a little less power. And then those people get less. But in the end, those people who even have less still want their kids to like be successful.
Right.
And be able to exceed and excel. You know, when you look at something like Resistance, all the parents were gone and the kids were left. And maybe it was that the parents like gave their lives so their kids wouldn't have to.
Right.
Because I would do that for my kids.
100%.
Yeah. You know, and I just think that all people, regardless of culture and religion and stuff, the underlying theme is we're still human mm-hmm. and we all want what's best for our family and our kids.
Right.
And that's what I kind of pulled out of this trailer and, you know, how the movie's going to play itself out.
Yeah. There was a good interview of Jesse Eisenberg on Ezra Klein, like years ago, I want to say like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And Jesse Eisenberg, like his identity as a Jewish man is very, very deep ingrained in his art and what he does. And the way that he does his craft and his work is that never take for granted the life that you have, because so many people during this time in Jewish Jewish history sacrifice so much so that your parents and your grandparents could get out. So knowing that he has this ingrained in the way that he approaches his craft and his work, and then the fact that he got to do this film is kind of this nice, you know, nice knowledge about him as an actor and what he now he's, you know, at a place in his career where he can choose a project like this, even though it's an independent, you know, IFC film, you know, it's not going to.
So not what is IFC film?
Independent Film Channel. It's like.
Oh, OK.
Yeah. And it's weird because it says it's going to be streaming and theaters. It's VOD and theaters on 327. So. Again, very short from the trailer dropping on, you know, the beginning of February, and then it airs the end of March.
So with the video on demand, do we know what platforms?
I don't know. I think, you know, IFC has their own platform, maybe. And then I don't know what else they would put it on, you know, probably Amazon or,
yeah,
or Hulu or something like that.
One thing I noticed, though, is Amazon, if it's not to Prime, mm-hmm. so included with your Prime membership,
right.
you can always... like rent it
right
through Amazon. Netflix, on the other hand, if it's not with Netflix, you can't get it with Netflix.
Yeah, they don't even try to.
Yeah.
They're just really like, here's something similar to that.
And then at some point, when the DVDs are released or Blu-rays are released, you can get it through there if
right.
you subscribe to the discs. But do you know anybody that still gets discs?
You do it sometimes.
Oh, we haven't done it for...
You turn it on and off every now and then?
Oh, man. The last time was maybe a year ago.
for the Marvel Cinematic Universe Challenge, I think.
Yeah, that was a year ago.
Yeah, it was a year ago. So, so I don't know anybody that does the discs anymore, I guess.
Yeah, and the only reason we did that is because we wanted them in the order that they came.
Right, right.
And we couldn't really get them in any other way.
Now you have all of them.
Now we have all of them. Yeah, Disney Plus. What is it, $2.49 a month? Or something.
I think it keeps going down. I think it's like $3.50 a month.
Yeah. every time we mention it, it goes down. Right. All right. So
cool.
I mean, you're gonna. So
really I don't quick, know.
Resistance,
I don't know.
You gonna watch this?
I don't know. It's so heavy.
It's
when they shot those people in the pool in the trailer. It's like, oh, you're like showing me all these things that I don't necessarily want to see. But of all three of the trailers we had, it was the most complete. Trailer, you know what I mean? It was a full on.
It was a full trailer, right?
You know, it was no teaser about it. It was the full story. So I'm interested to see how it unfolds, but it just feels too heavy for me to attack.
The only thing I would say is, I don't know if I would go to the theater for this.
Yeah,
arguably, I probably won't. However, I enjoyed Life is Beautiful so much, and. I like the piano.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is going to fall along those lines.
That's a lot to live up to.
Right now, it feels like it would.
Right.
When you look at the miming,
mm-hmm.
the French resistance, fighting the Nazis, and then moving into Marseille Marceau, I think it's going to kind of try and follow that art form of, like, this is how we resisted.
Right.
And our coping strategies. But I don't know, though, if, like you said, it's heavy.
It's heavy.
I mean, if it's this or that, or, you know, this... and five other things, man, there's going to be a lot of things to choose from. I don't know if this is going to rise to the top.
And I think it's harder to say. It's such a heavy, heavy movie that it's hard to say what you would do. It's a lot to live up to across all those other movies. I found the Robin Williams movie that I was thinking about. It's called Jacob the Liar.
Oh, Jacob the Liar, yeah.
So it's very similar.
I never saw it.
But you know that.
But I'm familiar with it.
Do you remember this story? You saw the trailer, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, this is a time-honored tradition of finding the joy and beauty in life.
Yeah.
in a completely horrible situation.
Right.
So.
All right, man. Now to end on such a high note. Yeah, no, it was great having two episodes in a row with you.
Amazing.
And Yeah, we get to sit there and not see each other through a screen.
And only a couple weeks ago, I was complaining about it. So yay.
And we had a couple of good beers each time. Yeah, it was awesome. So I had a good time. And unfortunately, next week, we're going to be back a couple hundred miles apart from each other.
But fortunately for Bryce, because Bryce enjoys the routine of the Friday nights.
And I got to say, too, I mean, you know, I hate to say it. I do, and then maybe I don't hate to say it, but I do enjoy the routine of the Friday nights. You know, we get to sit down. Clarissa goes and does her thing and watches her shows. I think she's still doing
Grimm.
Yeah, she's still doing Grimm. I mean, like, how long has it been now? Like a year or something?
I don't know.
She's been
a long doing Grimm. Time. That's a lot of Fridays.
And then when we're done, we usually go, like, we're done around 10 o'clock, 10:30, mm-hmm. and we go and do some episode of something. And, you know, like, so there is that kind of routine that strikes, you know. But still, it's good to be in it's good to be in the flesh.
We gotta shake it up a little bit.
That's right. That's right. All right, man. Well, hey, next week, we'll look forward to seeing you on Skype.
Awesome.
All right.
Bye.
Later.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.